The Wrong Child, written by Barry Gornell and read by William Gaminara.
Chapter 1. It was the last child's final morning. It broke crisp and clear. The winter sun struggled up the east gable of his isolated clapboard house, illuminating its disrepair. The front of the building was forever sunless. Iron gutters, heavy with weeds and roof tiles, overflowed with icicles. The slow drip of morning thaw fed the stains and rot. The last coat of paint had crackled into a dull glaze and offered scant protection. A mop was frozen into a bucket of murky ice, crusted with fallen leaves beneath a dusting of snow. In a first-floor window, a knife-shaped shard of missing glass revealed a slice of face. Dog Evans stood at the window, watching through the broken pane. He sweated in the cold. In the mean light that pierced the interior, his moist skin appeared translucent, barely containing the blood crawling beneath the surface. His grey eyes and salmon lips were lurid in comparison. Outside, thick, rimy frost covered the basin of marsh, part of which separated his home from the rest of the village, away to his right. A common postal code was his only token of inclusion, the occasional delivery his only form of contact. On the opposite side of the marsh, the harsh November sunshine reflected off the concrete remains of the abandoned schoolhouse. Within these walls, planted in remembrance of the generation lost there, trees thrived. 22 children had been in the class. 21 trees grew in the school. Dog Evans wanted to be a tree. He'd watched these trees grow, left behind to witness their skyward progress. Out of sight, their young branches had sought until they touched, then intertwined, creating a tight ring. The growth of the saplings had been visible through glassless frames, straining ever higher until tousled green tops peered over the walls. One autumn morning, their growth had pushed over a section of the weakened wall, causing the earth to shake in an echo of the explosion. The villagers' response to this attempted breakout was to erect a chain-link boundary fence around the memorial. A large white sign with block red letters was planted between wall and wire. The single word "danger" once filled the board, the word itself enough to weigh down the sign and render its footings redundant. The nature of the danger was unspecified. The villagers had stood together, some weeping, some still clinging to teddy bears. They considered the new sign for a while, then walked away, their backs turned. As time passed, the lower boughs of the nearest trees had grown over the sign, lolling in heavy, insolent swags, twisting it in the first stages of destruction. Dog Evans had watched leafy fingers extend to obscure the first letter. In recent months, anger had been its only message, and Dog Evans its only reader. Dog Evans turned the brown Bakelite knob on the bedside radio. He took pleasure in the dull, spring-loaded click that preceded the gentle humming of the valves as they grew bright with warmth. They brought the voices into another day. The voices were his company, welcome and invited. He heard the long-gone sing-song of playground and parent, the fractured meter of hand-clap rhythms and footstep melodies that he was never part of, the skipping rope too fast, the circle exclusive, the ball not his, and laughter. The joyous shouts and shrieks of playtime release shot through his mind like swooping birds, a comfort that caused him to smile and turn to the blur in the mirror. Dog Evans no longer had a reflection. Moribund blossoms tarnished the silver glass, their petals spreading as if resisting his image. He had a face that invited blame. Even as a baby, nursed at arm's length, his strange doll-like features had driven away all but the most determined. His appearance had been the start of his mother's isolation, described to others by the midwife whose visit struck Rebecca Evans as brief and perfunctory.